Good morning, everybody. Let's get this party started. Hallelujah. Spring has sprung. Are y'all digging it? I seen a little yellow dust on the car this morning on the way in. Yeah, that comes with it. You got to take the good with the bad with the good. But it says if you just thank the Lord in all circumstances and things, not only is that the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, it's also how you're going to come out of here with a mind and everything still intact. It's going to hold you together if you can just praise the Lord in all circumstances. Because then you don't even know what's good and what's bad. You just know it's just praise the Lord time. That's how I like it. I wake my kids up, rise and shine. It's praise the Lord time. Just get up and let's go. If you don't like what you got now, just praise the Lord. You might like what you get in a little while. All right. Whew. It's been a busy week. I know y'all been busy as well. The 20th was my born-again birthday 16 years ago. Praise God. You know, and that's just crazy how time flies. It really has. But you know what? These 16 years, and according to the first 36, it's quite a difference. It's quite a difference. I'd love to say that, man, I've been made so whole and complete, and I've been walking the line ever since. I've not fumbled. I've not slurred anything off my tongue or anything that's not healthy. But it's come out. You know, it happens. I've not, what Paul say over in Philippians 3, I find great comfort in there. What you got, Mary?
Not that I have yet attained.
There it is. Right. Not that I've obtained it or apprehended. All the glory of God, I've not achieved the goal yet. I've not arrived yet. But one thing I do know is I'm just going to keep pressing toward the higher calling of Christ. That in itself is just where it's at. Because I can just throw my hands up and give up, and I do. But you know what? It's up to Him. I tell you, I had some stuff hit me this way. I said, Lord, I just go ahead and take me home right now. Just take me home right now, Lord. I'm done. I mean, I was real. I mean, I was just pouring it out this week. And it's just, this stuff just, all right, I'm done. Y'all ever been there? You know? But then you turn around and it's like, well, I'm still here. Okay, Lord. Praise God. What else? Well, just keep going. That's what that verse means. Then I'm just going to keep pressing toward. So here's your posture, my stance, my perspective, my view, frame of mind, all these things. It might get just torn out the frame in a split second. And then the next thing you know, it's really kind of teetering maybe. I'm teetering over to that flesh side. I'm teetering in a blowing up. I'm teetering to just crying out to God again. I'm teetering over. And the next thing you know, something else happens. Just pushes me right over the edge. But what do? I give up. Praise God. I think the pastor, what was talking about? Was that James 4:7? James 4:7. Anybody know that one off the top of the head? I do. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And then he'll flee. But look, that's all kind of stuff. But here's the thing. The biggest deal in that verse is not that you cannot resist him. You can't even resist your flesh. And I'm going to tell you, your flesh has nothing to do with the devil's activities. Devil made me do it. No, devil ain't made me do nothing. Flip. It's that flesh. It's that carnality. It's that world that's in you. And that world that you've been born into. You really have not one thing to do with it. I didn't ask for any of it. See, I don't even know how to ask for it. But so when the dog pile comes down on you, it just comes down on you. But then we want to say it's God's fault. Well, it's not God's fault. God made a way for you. I cannot resist the things and stuff sometimes that come. So the very first thing I must do is to throw my hands up and submit to God. Just like what I'm saying. Hey, I'm done, Lord. I'm at my end. I can't do it. He says, praise me. You know what I guess he would say, you know? I would say, well, praise the Lord. Somebody told me, well, I just throw my hands up. Well, praise the Lord. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I said, yeah, praise the Lord. Because now you've just started to submit to God. Now you've started to where you got the power, because you're not in your power. You're submitted to his power. And his power is going to allow you to resist the devil. And then that's going to see, he's going to say, well, he's working in the power. I got to leave. That's how it works. But if my stand and my stance and all my posture of my heart and every way of thinking, if I can't submit to God and throw my hands up, guess who's still trying to fix it and do things? I am. I will. What's that Isaiah 14 over there? Y'all read that one? Where the enemy has been, he's been uncovered. And everybody can see him, right? And they're saying, is this the one? Is this the one? That's him? That's the one? That's who we've been dealing with this whole time? My goodness, sometimes I think it's a mirror, you know? But you see, what makes the difference is that in his heart, in the enemy's heart, his posture, in that same scripture of Isaiah 14 says, I will set my throne above his. I will do these things. I will do these. I've counted the I's one time, but I can't even remember how many there are in that scripture of Isaiah 14. I will, I will, I will, I will. It's that pride. So here it is. If I can't submit to God, I'm still in I's will and not God's will. So now I'm all out of whack. I'm all out of stand. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to be run over by all kind of things coming and going, and I'm just setting myself up to keep being steamrolled because I've not submitted to God. I'm not denying myself. That is so huge in our walk. And I know that, would, you know, on the 20th, which is spectacular, you know, it's the first day of spring and how everything goes down, I look at it and it's like, Lord, you pushed me in a position on that day to where I could not do it any longer. Even I tried to, you know, I'm trying to call, and on that day, I tried to call my sister. She was a paramedic, you know, I'm having a heart attack. I'm dying over here, all this stuff. What's going to happen, you know, and I did. I had to die to myself one last time, so to say at that time. But I had to get to that point, and the Lord said you had to reach your breaking point to where you finally could say, I'm yours. I'm done. I can't do it. I need you. I don't know what else to do. You know, and I could just hear him saying, it's about time. Now I can start working the process. See, Jesus said, I am the cornerstone that's been rejected. But on this rock, you must fall and be broken. But if this rock falls on you, you will be pulverized, crushed to powder, not reworked. So I believe we all need to get to that Humpty Dumpty status. So we need to fall off our daggone high horse, rock, whatever we own, and be broken. Because then the Lord God will start putting those perfect pieces back together the way they're supposed to, and not only just put back together, but put back together in his, with his love, with a little understanding, because you just went through something. And what you just went through was the breaking of yourself. To knowing that you are not your own. You cannot do this on your own. I don't care how hard. There's a reason they say he anoints my head with oil. The thing about that was the sheep and the lamb, when the mites and the thing get on them, they drive on them crazy. They'll run their heads up against the wall, a rock, a tree, and it's literally driving them mad. But we put a little oil on it and it soothes it. It takes it away. So why do we need it on her? So we don't need our mind to drive us crazy. And our mind will drive us crazy if we had to do it. I had a man, it was this week, I went in and I buying some supplies for him, and you know, I just like to talk to people. Sometimes I have to not go somewhere if I just don't get out the truck. Yesterday, I went by a little thing they had going, and I said I was in a hurry, but I knew I wanted to be there. I wanted to go really pray and love on people because that's what I love to do. That's who I really am in truth. I'm a guy who wants to love and pray for people. That's just what I want to do. And if I'm not doing that, I'm really out of sorts. You know, it's like, man, what am I doing over here? But you got to do over here to get over here. You know, there's some things that you got to do that you really don't want to do. But you're going to have to do it to get through. Because you are in the world, but you're not of the world. So I just didn't even get out the truck. I said, here, you go over there, you give this up, and we'll just go. Hurry up. My kids need to go. I got stuff I got to do. I can't do it. But I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? I didn't want to have to not get out and go love on people. But it was a time and a place. And I don't know if that's maturity or what on my part. Maybe I missed out on my blessing. You know what I mean? But if when I know my wife's telling me we got to hurry up and get home, you got to do it. Your girls are wanting some time with you today. You got to make time. You got to do the right thing. So what I'm saying, our way of thinking, these things and all this stuff, even if it's a good thing sometimes, we still might not need to put a foot in the water. And it takes me to a place to where, remember when the Lord sent out the 72, I think it was. You know, he sent out the 10, and they come back 70, 72, depends on what version you read, you know. But then he sends them out again. And when he sends them out this time, he said, you go to these places. Even if you have a passerby come to you, you do not do any. You keep going. Why? Why is that? It's like, because listen, if this person needs prayer and love, I'm going to stop and do it. I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to get to your point. Because sometimes you'll have a distraction coming, and that's not your deal. But we get involved with that, and it postpones us. And so what happens, it leads us to being out of position for the mission that we really got to do, that he wants to do through us. Yes, Miss Mary. Because the bottom line is, we don't know it all. Unfortunately, but for me, it's very fortunate that I don't, and I realize that I do not know it all. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. But it's just like, you know, what I was talking about last week, all my girls, when they all start blasting out at one time, man, that right there, I need some oil on my head right now. No, stop all the arguing. Yeah, praise God. Hey, just like the discipline that it talks about in Hebrews, that none of this seems appropriate or beneficial at the time. But when it works its work, hallelujah, you will bear the fruit. Hallelujah. So that obedient walk and where we're doing, it's so huge. But as we go in on this thing, not even, and it was taught, you know, Pastor Harriet, they tell you, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's your good thing. You know, so we got to learn not to be ignorant of things and the schemes of how things are going. But what we do need to know is that, back to the posture. I hate to keep going back to the posture of your heart, but it might be the title of the message. I don't know. But if we're in the right frame of mind, if we're postured in the right thing, we're going to start learning and we're going to start understanding that maybe, okay, well, this is not mine. This is this person's over here. I have to do, what is my mission? What do you want to do with me, Lord? What's the theme of the month? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Does everybody have the same purpose? Be careful. Be careful. Because there's a foundational purpose. There is a main reason why the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, created someone in his image. There is a purpose why he did that. What is the image of God? What does John say over there in his extra epistles? Not the gospel. That God is love. God is love. So if he made you in his image, what are you? You are made in the image of love. Now, he created you because he understands, unlike we, he knows that love loves love. Does that make sense? Love wants love. Love wants to give love. Love likes to receive love back. But it's not necessary to me to love. Well, let me put it this way. It's not necessary for the Lord God to have you to have to love him in order for him to keep loving you. But yet, least little thing comes, we get sideways, and the first thing we want to do is to act harshly and retract that love. We want to give them a talk to the hand because the ear's not hearing yet. Right? That's an old little thing. But that's the first thing we want to do. We want to start shutting people out because they don't act appropriately to what we want them to. Or they come against me in some kind of way. Oh, so you're saying they come against you, but what you're really saying is you're offended. Because you have yet to understand the love of God. John also talks about over there, he says, so those who still fear, because usually fear will come in and it will, the fear of what? Giving your stuff, your heart to other people. We don't want to do that because we don't want it to be stepped on. We don't want to be hurt anymore. So the next line is, if I don't give it, can I receive it? Well, if you go to the Bible, he says, what you got to do when you receive it, you have first to have to do what? Give forgiveness to receive forgiveness. If you don't give forgiveness, yet your stuff is still held against you because you don't understand the process and the way he does things. What he said, blessed is the one who's not offended by the way I do things. You go tell John the Baptist that. Did he tell him that or not? He said that because John the Baptist, well, are you the Messiah? Because here I'm over in a position that I didn't bargain for. I was doing a lot better over there in the woods eating grub worms. Had a lot of less cares out there. So that takes us to the next thing. So when we get so entwined with the world and happen to have these stuff, this stuff, guess what happens? The more you want, the more you're going to have to give. What did he say? Give Caesar what is Caesar's. You give God's what is God's. So if I don't have anything of Caesar's, guess what? I don't have to give Caesar anything. But I'm going to be slacking a lot of things that I think I need if I don't have a lot of Caesar stuff. Does that make sense? If you own a lot of property, Jim, you got to pay a lot of property tax, don't you? Okay, there's my point. If you don't have a lot of stuff, you don't have to pay a lot of stuff to the government. But if you're going to work and you think you're going to have something, guess what? You got to give it to them. If not, they're going to come take it from you anyway. So guess what? I'm carefree. Better. People say, oh, the homeless people. My by goodness, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the homeless people have a lot better relationship with the Lord than you do. Because the cares of the world don't come in and take it away. Their mindset is on, hey, if he don't supply it, I'm not in it. So if I, and I was there. Lord, if you don't give it to me, and I know it's you and not some kind of string attached to try to get me off of where I'm at, then I know that if I don't have it, I don't need it. Bro, there's some of the most craziest scripture that Jesus talked about over there in Matthew 6. How in the world? Hallelujah. Praise God. How does Jesus, it's just unbelievable. If he didn't know and have the understanding, how could he say such a thing as this? Take no thought for food or clothes, for that's what the infidels, the unbelievers chase after. Ooh-wee. That's a big one. What are you talking about? Proverbs says, it says, you work and do because your stomach requires it of you. My goodness, what? My gut's growling. I need to go eat. Do you know back in the way days, some of them used to go 3 days without food? They only ate about every 3 days. Let me tell you, gluttony's gluttony. When I say this now, I'm about to go over there and try that new Japanese steakhouse out after today. We laugh at it, you know what I mean? But listen, man, if we won't get right, let's get right. If you won't get pondered, but I'm telling you, sometimes if we don't posture ourselves in the right way, he's got a way of getting us in a place to where we will get put in a position whether we want to or not. Then you can either act like a goat or you can act like a sheep. The goat's going to look cross-eyed and want to ram butt heads about it, and the sheep's just going to go eat what he's got. That's the whole point. So anyway, the way of thinking, the posture of our heart, I think that is a huge, huge deal. Because as we said over in Proverbs 23:7, it was the way of thinking. And it said, as the heart thinks, so is he. So my way of thinking is going to derive from where? Here, from my heart. It's not going to come from my mind. If my mind, because my mind is ran by my heart. Unless I'm just a mind guy and I don't even, my heart's still that stony vessel that hadn't been touched by the Lord yet. So now I'm just running with my mind. I'm running with my soul and my feelings and my emotions, and all those things are directing my course and my path. And where am I at? Just like what we were talking about the other, you know, you got people who's down and out and broke, hit rock bottom. My goodness, praise God, I'm in a position now I'm going to call out to God. Because guess what? I really don't have another option at this time. But if you didn't have a seed sown in your life, even at rock bottom in your brokenness, you're still not going to call upon the name of the Lord. But if that seed is there, when you hit rock bottom, praise the Lord that that seed is there and you know, hey, I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to submit to God. I'm yours. Whatever you're going to have your way. Whew. And that's what I did 16 years ago. I'm done. I'm going. I see death. I see darkness. I don't want it. He said, well, you see that little light hovering over that darkness? I said, yes, Lord. He said, come to it. Let go of everything and come on. And I knew at that very moment, that's when it finally dawned on me that, you know, I wasn't as wild and as crazy as I thought I was. I'm a fragile little boy. Scared of death. Scared to death, by death, because, hey, I didn't care. I walked the steel, man. I go up in the air, walk on little things, and let people look at me. Look at you. Can you do this? 100 feet in the air, walking on 3-4 inches. I watch them nowadays. They got straps holding them everywhere they go. I said, there's no way. I'm glad I'm not doing it. That's going to make me fall just looking at that stuff. You got to unhook this cable, go to this cable, and all this stuff. My goodness, get that out of my way. I don't need that stuff. I just walk around free, way up in the air. I didn't care about dying. But you know what? I had pistol shot and held at my head. Well, I kind of reconsidered a couple things at that moment. But I still thought in my heart that I didn't mind dying. I wasn't scared of death. But I didn't know how ugly death really was until I seen it 16 years ago. And I said, oh, Lord God, I don't want no part of that. I'm not as bad as I thought I was. I'm not tough at all. I need you, Lord. I want life. He said, well, give it all to me right now. Give it all to me right now. And I mean, and that something happened right then when I said, I'm yours. And I mean, I had to do it 3 times because I was still holding back, you know. You know, when he marries us, and he's married you, he's married to y'all. Do you understand that? We are married to the Lord. He's our husband. Praise God. Bless you, Lee. But see, it's not like us walking that aisle in holy matrimony, we say. Because part of our words is like, richer or for poor, sickness and in health, I am committed to you. But the next thing you know, when old Jet's a millionaire, something happens. I get offended. I look at my wife, oh my goodness, I really made a mistake, didn't I? Not just saying my wife, you know what I mean? I'm just saying in general. And we change our mind. We change our heart. And I don't want to be with you no more. Well, I don't want to be with you either. Well, I think we made a mistake. Okay, so we get a divorce. We file for consenting. Right? We both agree. We don't need to be together again, and we just leave. But you see, before Jesus said, I do to you, he knows your heart. He knows if you're serious or not. He knows if you truly do. And it don't matter, because he knows it. Time comes and your heart's going to shift. There's things going to come against it. But at that very moment, you're crying out with a true, repentant heart. Guess who shows up? He says, I do, I did, and I will. Hallelujah. And your mind, no matter what you do to me anymore, whatever you do, my goodness, I will buy you back. Hosea and Gomer, my goodness, I love that story. Don't you know that? My goodness, it wasn't just what? Hey, Gomer did all these things. Yeah, but I'm going to take her back. Hosea, not only will you go take her back, you're going to have to sell stuff. You're going to buy her back. What? So it comes to the thing about where our heart is. We understand. But do you understand, really? That's why he said that he created you in his image to know the love of God. The love of God does not need you to love him back to love. No matter what you, as a matter of fact, it works the opposite. No matter how hard you think you can come against him and do stuff, you're not changing his mind. You're not changing his heart. His heart is postured and it's standing firm for you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That what you do is not going to matter because you are futile and fragile anyway. Let the strong man, the strongest man, sweep his bride off his feet, and honey, it's okay. I'm still learning. And I probably, it's going to take a while. Maybe if I, oh, hallelujah. Maybe by my golden anniversary, ain't that the 50th? Maybe if I'm married to my wife 50 years, I might be able to love her like the Lord. But I don't know. I seen them 64 years, and they still ain't loving them like the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Maybe 100 years I'm married, I might love like the Lord. Oh. I don't know. But there's a hope. Because he made me in his image. When I got born again, I was no longer a son of my earthly dad. Now I've been born again, born of his spirit, born of his heart to stand in the way that he's called us to stand. Does things still come at us to try to take us out of the way? My goodness, yeah. It's going to, but that's when you just need to turn around and submit to God and say, I can't do it. Hallelujah. Let me do it for you. Just praise him. Just give thanks for it, no matter what it is. I don't know why things happen to people and other people with this and that. I don't know why. My wife is taking her mother to Spartanburg this morning because her uncle, which is her mama's, here we go, her mama's sister's brother's nephew, her mama's sister's husband, was out on the tractor yesterday, and I don't know what in the world, but he didn't come home for supper. They've been married 60 years, I think. He didn't come home for supper. Well, that's a good old Indian sign that something's wrong. She went looking for him. There was the tractor with a big limb tree over the top of it. Kenny wasn't there. Where was Kenny? He was laying off on the side over there, unconscious. She got him up. I don't know how in the world she did. She got him up. Well, we got to send him to Spartanburg. We got him to Spartanburg. He's got swelling on the brain, fractured skull. He's got cracks in his spine. My goodness, brain injury, swole up. They sent a picture of him today to us this morning. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. His head's this big. Mill Mill's already on nerve medicine. She's a wreck all the time. She's totally a wreck now. Kenny was the most, he still is, one of the most gentle people you ever gonna meet. He's always got a soft nature about him. He don't speak loud. He don't hardly talk much. But here's this guy. Here's this guy laid in a ditch, knocked unconscious with blood all over him. Nobody's coming in. Why does that happen to him? Somebody like me who loses his cool, man, I deserve it. I'm the guy on the other side of the cross over there. I deserve this. I deserve everything that's coming to me. I understand that. But praise be to the Lord God. He said, I will take that for you. Got a Sergio, my amigo. Pour concrete with him. Prayed for him. Prayed for my wife. Help pray. Pray, Lord, send a Spanish man, somebody who can work with my husband, who works hard, who will do concrete with him and help him work. My goodness, I'm over here doing a job for somebody. Not charging him a dime. Just something to do. But here's, I'm telling you this, not for me. It's because of the person that I was doing the concrete for. Somebody gifted the concrete to him, so didn't charge him anything. And next thing I know, here's a Spanish individual called Sergio out here finishing the concrete with me. And I said, well, Sergio, can I get your number? He says, yeah, amigo. I said, whenever I need it, can you come? He said, yeah. So he took off many times of his own job to come work for me to help me. Then I find out this past week that he's got stage 4 stomach cancer. He's 36 years old, 2 little children, and now here he's just 8 slap up with something. And let me tell you, the person, and he looked just like the person when I seen him, it's just God. It's God. I went to go pay my concrete bill. He don't even work up there no more. He works at another place now. But I'll go to pay my concrete bill, and I'm walking in, and all of a sudden I hear, Migo! And I turn around, and it's Sergio. But my amigo looked just like my hermano Antoni Staley. He had a toboggan on his hat, no hair up there, a fanny pack with the chemo thing pumping into him. He just white face, you know what I'm saying? That stuff drained the life out of him. And all I could do was just cry like a baby. And it was Antoni's house that I met him at. So there's 2 good buddies, good brothers, man, that just got hit with cancer. And why? Why? We don't know why. Because all I know is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and he's already took care of everything. It don't matter if the cancer eats you up. It don't matter if a tree falls on your head. It don't matter. My goodness, what does matter if your heart's postured in the right way with the Lord God and that you're going to be spending eternity with him? Hallelujah. Just like what I'm saying, I'm training my children that I love that I don't want to live without. The one day they're going to live without me. But praise God, the Father who's training and preparing me to live with him forever. I don't have to live without that daddy. He's always going to be there, and I'm always going to be with him now. What a wonderful, wonderful rest of assurance that I can rest in, right? So as I think in my heart, that's who I'm going to be. What is my purpose? Here we go back again. Here it is. He created you in his image. What is that image? Love. Not I don't care what kind of love language you want to put on it, but this is an agape love. This is a love that has no bounds. This is a love that has no depth. This is a love that's always going to pour out. That's the love that you got to understand. That's the love you got to love him back with, not some perverted love that we call love that come from this world because it's got strings attached. Not a love that you're going to have to love me to love you back. No, this is a love that never ends. That's where he wants your heart to be. He wants you to understand that love that he has for you. And then through that purpose right there, you're going to be able to not only love him with that same love, but you're going to love each other with that same love. Did you learn to love while you're here? Did you posture your heart in a way that you could receive that love and start to understand that love. Because the only way you're going to be able to understand that love is when you start walking in that love and giving that love. And when something comes sideways at you, you're able to process that and you're still able to give that love back with no strings attached. You don't withdraw from these people. You keep giving that love. And I'm telling you, the healings and the material things, whatever Jesus did, whatever we're doing for people, it's not about the healing. It's not about the material stuff. It's about you getting close enough to the Lord to feel and know his love and be able to take it in and become that love too. Everything is about the love of God. That's what he wants you to understand as we go through this life. That you know that love. So how's that going to affect? That's 10, 16. How's it going to affect us? It's going to affect us. If our heart's out of posture, it's going to affect the way we think. It's going to affect the way we stand on. Also, what we say over there in Luke 6, 45, wasn't it? Yeah, Luke 6, 45, is that right? Yeah. This says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of his heart evil treasure. Huh? He brings the evil. But because for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So here it is. What kind of language you got coming out? Whatever comes when you hit wrong, my goodness, I know. If I'm still coming out of my mouth, my heart's got overflow of the wrong thing right now. Let's back it up. Let's dissect this thing. Let's cut it out. Whatever we got to do, Lord God, I'm submitted to you, and I give it to you to take care of me. Fix this because I don't want to be this way. And he says, okay, here we go. Now you start to understand that my grace is sufficient. Don't be condemned by the way you're still acting, because my goodness, we've not arrived yet. But one thing I need you to understand, that you're going to keep pressing toward the higher calling and the purpose and the love of God, that you're not going to back up, you're not going to stop. If you do stand, you're only going to stand because you postured in the right way to receive his love, and that's all I'm going. I'm not going no further if I'm going to mess it all up. Let me stand right here and take me home. But all I want to do is love like you, Lord God. I want to know that love. I know that love. I need more of that love. I need to understand that love. Then they'd be able to give that love. All right. Sorry I didn't bring you eggs. All right, we ready? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We're running out of time. Probably could be the message here, Lord. Running out of time. Because we're all limited. We don't know. We have no way to know, Lord, of what time, how much we have here, whether it be 50, 2 minutes, 100 years, whatever's left, Lord God, on this time. That we're only restricted in time because we're in this world right here. But in your kingdom, there is no time limit. It's all forever. So, Lord, while we're here, help us. Help us just to be in the right place to receive your love, Lord God, to understand your love, to be able to give your love, to make a difference, Lord, to let your love make a difference in us and let your love make a difference in people around us, Lord. Let your life come and your love be abundant, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, because you've done it all for us. It's already finished. Let us rest assured in that. In your name, Jesus, it will be done and it is done. Amen. 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 Praise God. Love y'all.